Look at verse number 12, and then we'll stay in this passage tonight. I'm sorry about the pause there. I wasn't trying to make you nervous, just trying to be sure where I want to start at night. Look at verse number 12. You said, you ought to all have that all down pat. Pray for me. I'll be smooth one of these days. Amen. Not always as smooth as I should be, I guess. Verse 12 says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said into the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. I'm not going to give you the title of the message tonight till I finish. It will be something a little different tonight. I'll give you the title when I finish. But I will repeat that we've had four messages so far. We need to be stirring in the valley. If you want to get out of the valley, you got to start stirring. Some valleys we get into, we're going to have to shovel. Some valleys we're going to have to search for the sword. And then some valleys like this morning we can sing in. Amen. When you know that the Lord's going to bring you out, things going to be okay, the victory's of the Lord, the battle is the Lord's, we can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes you can just sing and say, God, I'll tell you, it doesn't matter what valley I'm in, I know this is going to come out all right. And there's just a peace that comes over you, that peace that passes all understanding. You just know that God's told you what He's going to do, and He's going to do it. Now, to me, tonight, I'm going to be preaching on a passage of Scripture you may or may not be familiar with. I'm sure you've heard the story maybe at some point. But I just want to stay within 14 verses of this passage. There's been a lot of things could be preached out of this. But I just want to stay on the first 14 verses of this passage and about this valley here that Joshua is dealing with. And it may not help you tonight, but it has helped me to see something that I've never thought about before. Something that my dad taught me. When he went through a valley in his life, and I've never realized it, I guess, till I started studying this, what he was teaching me in his life. And I hope that tonight the Lord will let me, through the Scriptures, to give some of that to you. Does that make sense? Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Brother Bill, if you will, lead us in prayer while we all pray. Jim. Appreciate the prayer tonight. This message may be, I told my wife, I come out of study today, I said, it's simple. Some of you may feel like, well, this is just training wheel type messages, but that's all right. We need the fundamentals too. But for me, it was fresh. It was new. For me, it was light. I want you to look at with me what it says in verse number 1 through 5. When these verses, we see the words of a foe. The Bible says here that now we know that Joshua, they've crossed the Red Sea. They've been destroying their enemy. They had a terrible impact there at Ai. We had sin in the camp. God cleans the sin from the camp. They went in and battled Ai as one big group, as one man. And God used that to give them the victory, and they won the victory over Ai. Then we find the Gibeonites come in and really sort of trick them into becoming a friend or having a confidence with them to join with them, and Gibeon says, we'll be your servants. And then we get to chapter number 10, and this is where we're at tonight. The Bible says, now here's the words of a foe. It says, now it came to pass when Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai. Now, this is before Jerusalem has been taken. And at that time, it actually was under the Jebusites and was a different name, Jebusai. It was there. And so we see here that here's this king of Jerusalem. He said, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it. And as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king. And how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. And so we see the enemy, the foe, has heard some things. Verse 2 says that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. And so the foe was not only what they heard, but now they begin to fear. Why did they fear? Because here was a great city who just submitted themselves immediately to Israel and Joshua as their commander, their general, if you will. And they had great men. They were a great city. They were one of the chief cities, or like a chief city. And they had great men of valor. And so it bothered them. It made them fearful what was going to happen next. And the Bible says in verse number 3, wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Horam, the king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japheth, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua, and with the children of Israel. And so we hear the foe now speaking, or saying to the other enemy round about, and said, we need to gather together, and we need to go destroy Gibeon quickly before their power is added to Israel's power. I mean, Israel is already destroying Jericho. Israel has already destroyed Ai. And now Gibeon's going to be added to them on top of that. And boy, we're surely going to be in trouble. So I tell you what we do. What we're going to do is we're going to knock down some of the power. We're going to go and fight the Gibeonites. And that's what the foe was doing. Look at verse 5 says, therefore the five kings of Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And so we see the words of a foe. The foe begins to gather themselves together to fight against someone, not Israel. This is a very unusual statement. This is a telling a passage of scripture where the enemy of Israel is fighting against one of their allies. And so a very unusual scripture here in this way. And so they fight against them to just kind of knock down the power struggle just a little bit so they can have a little more authority. All right. Now stay with me. Now watch this. Look at verse number 6. First we see the words of a foe, and then verse 6 and 7, we see the words of a friend. Notice what it says in verse 6. Here's the request. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. What they're saying? Come. We need some help. You need to come. We're your servants. We've submitted ourselves to you, and we need you to come. Amen. And the Bible says, not only did they say come, but they said come now. Amen. The Bible says, come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings and Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. The kings that dwell in the mountains are come down. They're coming down to them to fight them in this valley city. Notice verse number 7, we get this response. And the word so. That is quite a response there. What it talks about is a contract of friendship. When you have a friend, you respond to that friend. And we see a contract of friendship in the word so. God made a contract with man. He made a commitment to man, for God so loved the world. Amen. And so there's a contract of friendship that Joshua now hears what his friend is going through. And the Bible says, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal. And so we see the comfort of a friendship, and then we see the courage of a friendship. He and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And so everybody that was in the fighting mood, amen, everybody had the ability to bear the sword, to carry the spear, to bear the shield. That crowd gathered up together and went into battle with Joshua to go and help the Gibeonites. And there they go. And we see the words of a friend. A friend says, hey, I need help and I need you now. And then we get the contract. So Joshua went. Amen. And just because he called, didn't go through all the conditions or what have you done or what ain't you done or how'd you do it or what are you going to do. He just said they went. Amen. And that's how a friend goes. A friend goes and shows up. At sometimes the most inopportune times, he shows up and gives them help. Amen. Now, notice what it says, number three. And this might be a quick message tonight. But we see in verse 1 through 5, the words of a foe. They are going to fight and try to hinder the friends of Israel. In verse 6 and 7, we see the words of a friend. They're called upon, and so they go. In verse number 8 through 11, we get the words of faithfulness. Here's the words of God. The Bible says in verse 8, look at the personal impact. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them in thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. Hey, notice this. We find out that here there's a personal impact upon Joshua. The Bible says, the Lord says, there's not one of them going to stand before you. I'm going to deliver them into your hand and they're not going to be able to stand before you. And notice what the Bible says. Joshua therefore, amen, Joshua therefore came up to them suddenly. I mean, he's in running mode. And so they're going to the battlefield wide open. You see that? And there's a personal impact of the faithfulness of God's word. Amen. Notice verse number 10. There's a public impact of the faithfulness of God's word. The Bible says, the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon and smote them to Azekiah and to Makeda. Now notice this, there's a public impact. Not only does he personally get on fire and go into the battle, but secondly we find out there's a public impact where they go and fight the battle and God discomfits their enemy and they're destroying their enemy and they're fighting their enemy and they're winning the battle. And if that wasn't enough, you get to verse 11 and you see a pounding impact. And the Bible says in verse 11, and it came to pass as they fled, they're running trying to get away from Israel. As they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. God is giving a whooping time. Amen. He's laying this thing down. And they're fleeing from him. And God gets into a rock throwing contest with the enemy. And boy, you ain't going to outthrow God's rocks. Amen. And he takes out them old hailstones and start, listen, they're running. And while they're running, God's taking more out with the hailstones than the Israel has taken out with the sword. Now boy, that's exciting, ain't it? They're on the winning side. Things are going well and the enemy is defeated and God is taking out more than you can cut down. God's smashing more than you can cut down with a sword and the enemy's fleeing and everything, they're on the winning side and everything's going good. Amen. Isn't that exciting? We find that words of an enemy, words of a foe that's going to fight you. We hear the words of a friend that says, come, and so he came. We get the words of faithfulness that says, you go ahead, I'll take care of the battle for you, you'll win, and they're winning the battle. Isn't that good? Amen. Now, can I give you the deep thought that I got? And I know that's hard for a real shallow mind, but I want to show you something God showed me about this passage. They're winning the battle, aren't they? Look at verse number 12. Finally, we get the words of a fighter. The Bible says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Now these Gibeon and Ajalon are next to each other. And he says this is a very rare occasion when you got a brand new full moon and the sun's beginning to going down. And the moon's coming over the horizon. And as one begins to come over, just like this, there's a sun over here and there's a moon over here. And Joshua says, I tell you what, here's the prayer of a fighter. And the prayer of a fighter says, you know what? We're winning this thing down this valley at Gibeon. We're winning this thing down in Gibeon. You know what the prayer of a fighter is? And here's the title of the message. How many of us would be willing to ask God to help us stay in the valley till the battle's won? We're always talking about get me out of this valley. Get me through this valley. But Joshua asked God to let him stay in the valley until the enemy was completely defeated. I wonder how many of us would go be with a friend in the valley time and stay in the valley till the enemy's defeated. Stay in the valley till the enemy's defeated. That's exactly what Joshua's saying. Lord, we're winning this thing. The enemy is running. You've set down hailstones. But the problem is, Lord, the sun's getting ready to go down. And if that sun goes down, they're going to hide in the dark. And there's some of them rascals going to hang around. Lord, what I'd like for you to do right now is I'd just like you to stop the universe. I want you to just stop the universe. Now, I want you to think about what he just asked when he did that. You understand what he's doing. We do know that the sun and the earth revolves around the sun and the moon revolves around the earth. When he asked that to happen, that means this earth would have had to quit revolving and the earth and the moon would have had to quit revolving around the earth. Now, if that would happen today under natural, normal circumstances, we would fly off into space because there's a thing called gravity that holds us here. And the earth has to spin in order to do that. Do you realize to fight that battle, God had to go beyond the things of what we call gravity and hold all them people down on earth? Why, he stopped everything in its place and listened to one man's prayer because that man was willing to stay in the valley until the enemy was defeated. Willing to stay in the valley till the enemy's defeated. I think a lot of times we are quick to say, God, get me out of this valley. I want to get out of here. You ever thought about maybe there's some times in our life we need to stay in the valley so we can defeat this enemy that's fighting us so long. Maybe there's a friend that needs somebody to stand with them in the middle of their valley. Now I want you to notice what happens. What's the purpose of a fighter? The Bible says in verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? Now that's an old writing book back in the history of Israel. It's not even in existence no more. It don't even exist. It's not part of the canon of the scriptures. You can't find the book of Jasher. You won't look it up, won't find it, it don't exist anymore. But it did at this time. It's like a historian book. Notice what it says. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Now, I don't know this. I don't know because I'm not a mathematician. But I've been told by mathematicians that we have a big problem trying to calculate our time. Did you know that? There's a big problem calculating our time. We get those leap years and all those kind of things, get all kind of messed up on that. And they say that no matter what they do in their math, they start doing the math back and they got a day that's missing. I'm just saying. There's a whole day just, they got one day too many. I didn't say missing, one day too many. And they can't figure out why they got that day too many. But I think I got an answer. I think it's this day. Look it with me in verse number 14, and I'm done. The Bible says, and there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now I ask you this question. This is the message tonight. I want you to ask yourself this personal question. Lord, would I be willing to stay in the valley if I could bring glory to God and victory to a friend. If me standing in the valley would bring glory to your name and victory to a friend, would I be willing to go through that valley and stay in there and keep fighting till the enemy's defeated? Now, Brother Ty, the Bible said nobody ever prayed a prayer where God just answered it like, just a man said, God just stopped us. Think about what he asked. Man, they're fighting a battle, and the sun's starting to go down. And Joshua says, Lord, I want you to stop the sun. I want you to stop the moon and give us some more time to finish this battle. And God says, okay. You know why he did that? Because Joshua was a fighting man. And he said, if you're willing to fight, I'm willing to stop the whole entire universe so you can fight the battle. I just wonder how many of us would say, God, I'm willing to stay in the valley till the enemy's defeated. Let's all stand. A lot of us want a quick release. Well, I'm going through a hard time. Friends going through a hard time. Let's just pray they all get out of that hard time. You know what? Maybe not all the time that's the case. My dad taught me in his valley that you can go through your valley and still give God the glory and you can defeat enemies. And I know I've told y'all this before, but I'll tell again. My brother asked him, said, Dad, you're a preacher and I'm a preacher and I can't ask anybody else this on their deathbed. You know that you're dying. Yes, I know I'm dying. He's going to ask you a question. He said, how's grace? You know, we preach about grace. We talk about grace. We've experienced grace. But how's dying grace? My dad looked at me just as clear as a bell and said, it's wonderful and it works. You know what he did? He stayed in the valley long enough to help a friend and give God the glory. I just wonder how many of us are willing to stay in the valley long enough to do that. As far as I know, Joshua was the only person I can find in the Bible who said, God, let me stay right here. Let me stay right here a little longer. Let me just go ahead and just continue completely defeat this enemy. And when we come out on the other side, the Gibeonites won't have no more problems with them anymore. And that's what they did. That's what they did. I don't know about y'all, but that convicts me. And that challenges me. And that makes me not want to be whiny. I know y'all ain't whiny, but I'm whiny sometimes. And complain and grumble and gripe about every little thing coming out of life. And a lot of times, I wonder how many enemies could have been defeated in the valley that God's had to pull us out of because we're too big of whiners. Come on, say amen. We're too big of whiners to go ahead and stay through the thing and beat the enemy that God has allowed us to go through. God don't allow a valley in your life for no reason. He don't allow a valley in your life for no reason. And I want to win my valley battles. I want to win them. I don't want to get defeated by them. I don't want to have to be pulled out of every one of them. I want to win some. I want to knock the backside out of some valleys. Amen. I don't want a valley, but if I'm going to have to go through it, I want to come out victorious on the other side. You understand what I'm saying tonight? And I don't know if y'all got anything out of that, but it sure helped me. I said, God, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Amen. You're dismissed tonight. Amen. Appreciate you coming.